Good morning to you. I want to start by asking you to imagine something. I want you to imagine a boy called Pedro. We met Pedro in last week's sermon, didn't we? And like last week, I want you to imagine Pedro sat in his special chair at the end of the family dinner table. Everybody's gathered round: mum, dad, brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, grandparents. And Pedro's eyes are wide, excited with the anticipation of all the food he's about to eat. He's got his bib round his neck. There's a relative on hand with the matching Thomas the Tank Engine bowl and spoon, ready to feed the food into Pedro's mouth, ready to scrape it off his chin and trying to stop him rubbing it in his hair and rubbing it in their hair too. All standard stuff for a one-year-old. In fact, some of us here might think, oh, it actually sounds quite cute. But what if I told you that Pedro was no longer one anymore, but that he was 17? That's no longer so cute, is it? And that's actually quite worrying. In last week's sermon, as we looked at the first two verses in Peter's second letter, Simon helped us see that one of the big points is that receiving from Jesus is the way to life. That was the big point that Simon was showing us from the first two verses. Receiving from Jesus is the way to life. There's no payment. There's no price. And for all of us that trust in Christ, it's almost as if Christ kind of picks us up and puts us in the chai chair. He feeds us the food. All we have to do is to receive. But as now we look at verses 3 through to 11, Peter's going to tell us the other half of the story. Because as we receive Christ, we must grow in Christ too. As we've received from Christ, we must grow in Christ too. Like Pedro sat at the dinner table, having made no contribution to the food he was about to eat. As he received it, he had to grow. And Peter's going to show us three things about this growth this morning. Grow, Peter tells us. Number one, God gives us all that we need. Grow, Peter says. Number two, he shows us the way. Grow, number three, Peter says, he promises us the goal. So number one, grow. God gives us all we need. Growth is big business, isn't it? People are always trying to sell us stuff to help us grow, right? Online, there are courses to grow our personality. There are apps to grow our brain power. There are fitness regimes to grow our muscles. But Peter starts this morning by telling us that if we're trusting in Christ, we don't need to look anywhere else in order to grow. Have a look down with me to verse 3. Peter says, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need to grow. In his glory and goodness, the only thing we need in order to grow is to know. To know God. Knowledge of God, that's a big theme running through to Peter. And when Peter talks about our knowledge of God, he's not talking about like a head knowledge and like an intellectual thing. He's talking about our hearts. He's talking about experience. The reason that we can grow as Christians is because of our knowledge of God. The knowledge that comes through knowing that God is faithful because we've relied on him. The knowledge that comes through knowing that God is powerful because he's told us stuff about him. Our knowledge of God, that he's accessible because through prayer we've poured out our hearts to him. Peter tells us that in order for us to grow, we need to know God. I don't know about you, but that's really reassuring to me. I think sadly in churches we can sometimes like give the impression that in order to grow spiritually, you've got to be somebody. Maybe you've experienced that yourself. Maybe even here at Kensington Baptist Church. Maybe you've picked up the impression that in order to really grow as a Christian, well, you need to be from a particular place or speak in a certain way. Maybe you've got to do a certain job or be into certain things. Maybe you've got to be from a particular type of family or have a particular personality. If you've ever felt that, and I'm sorry that you have, let me tell you this morning, it's just not true. It's just not true. And don't just take my word for it. Have a look down with me to verse 4. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. As you read verse 4, it might seem all a bit complicated to you. And when Peter talks about participating in the divine nature, he's not talking here about becoming God. Now what he's saying is, in certain respects, we can become more like God. So for example, in our thinking, we might become more holy, or we might become purer in our speaking, or we might become more good in our living. In other words, we can grow. Peter says that if we're Christians here this morning, we don't have to look anywhere else in order to grow. In fact, look at the beginning of verse 4. What does all this growth depend on? This participation in the divine nature? Have a look at the beginning of verse 4. Does it depend on the place you're from or how you speak or the job you do or the things you're into? Does it depend on your family or your particular personality? And brothers and sisters, our growth as Christians depends only on the very great and precious promises of God. Our growth as Christians depends on the very great and precious promises of God. So if you're a Christian here this morning and you're wondering to yourself, Lord, can I really grow? Well, can I ask you to think back to Pedro? To just think of Pedro in a special chair at the end of the table. Does Pedro need to start looking anywhere else in order to grow? Like, does he need to start asking his mum and dad what exactly is in this food? Like, does he need to go and get the packets and examine the ingredients on the back and all the nutritional values? No, Pedro knows his mum and dad. He knows his family's care for him. And everything he needs is right there. Grow, Peter says to us first. God gives us all we need. But you might be thinking, okay, right, James, I get this, okay. God gives me all I need. But what exactly does that look like? Like, what does it mean? Like, how do we actually grow as Christians? Like, what's the route map? What's the game plan? Well, if you have a look down at verses 5, 6, and 7, Peter starts now starting to get very specific. For this very reason, Peter writes, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. As we take hold of God's promises to us in Christ, as we experience our knowledge of him, as we really get to know God, these are the things Peter tells us that we should be growing in. And we don't have time now this morning to look at each of these in detail, but let me just flag up a couple of things which all of these things have in common. Do you notice, firstly, they're all to do with character? Did you notice that? Goodness and self-control and perseverance and godliness. They're all to do with our character. Even there, at the end of verse 5, knowledge. We might think, knowledge, how's that got to do with character? But as we've seen already, when Peter uses that word, he's not thinking head, he's thinking heart. He's not thinking like the amount of Bible references you know or the theological arguments you know in and out. He's not even talking about how much you might know about what's going on in the church, who's had the vaccine, who hasn't. No, he's talking about an intimate, lived out knowledge of who God is. As we're seeking to grow, more than anything else, we should seek to grow in character. But then secondly, do you notice all of these things have to do with community? That might be particularly obvious for things like mutual affection, verse 7. In fact, that word could be translated even stronger. Instead of mutual affection, it could in fact be family affection. Think about the affection you have with people in your family. Why is that? Well, it's because so much of who you are is bound up with who they are, right? That's the reason we're so loving and generous to our families normally, right? But it's not just family affection, but all of these qualities have a community connection. And that brings us to the third thing we see. If you want to know what goodness looks like, or if you want to know what perseverance looks like to be lived out in a person, if you want to see this mutual affection, if you want to see this love up close, look to Jesus. He's the person in whom we see these qualities clearest. This is where they shine brightest. As we seek to grow in Christ, it's Christ to whom we're to look. To use the language of some of the other New Testament authors, as we receive from Christ, we're to grow like our older brother. Just imagine the dinner table, younger brothers and sisters sat round. Well, as they're to receive, they're to grow into the family likeness, right? As we receive in Christ, we're to grow more like him. And then have a look down at verse 8. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from becoming ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus. But whoever does not have them is short-sighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. To grow in the Christian life is to grow more like the Lord Jesus. And that's so important that it means that if that isn't happening in our lives, like if we're flatlining, well, that should be a cause for concern. Let me try and illustrate it. As many of you know, my wife and I, Helena, we had a child last year. And for the first year of our son, Jesse's life, we recorded a 1-second video of him each day. We got out our phones and we recorded a video of him and uploaded it to an app. And this app stitched together all these clips into a video. Now, I want you to imagine that mid last year you came up to me, maybe you saw us in Eastville Park or whatever, and you said, oh, you know, how's Jesse growing? Can you see him growing today? Heather and I, well, we wouldn't really be able to answer that, would we? Like, Jesse looks pretty similar from 1 hour to the next. How do we know that he's growing? But if we'd have got this app out and showed you the clips, not just from day to day, but week to week, month to month. Well, boy, would you have been able to see him grow. Because that's the thing about growth, isn't it? You can't see it. It doesn't happen like right in front of your eyes. But that doesn't mean that it's not happening. And so just imagine you're back in Eastville Park and you stop, Helen and I, and we get out this app and we show it to you. But as we show it to you, you can't see Jesse growing. Day to day, week to week, month to month. He's just staying the same. How would you feel about that? Imagine you'd be pretty concerned. In fact, I'd hope you'd be pretty concerned. Not just about Jesse, but about mine and Helena's parenting. Christian, growth is not an optional extra. It's not just for elders, it's not just for deacons, it's not just for people like me who are trained to be a pastor. Oh yeah, we want James to grow. The growth is for all of us because as we receive Christ, we're to grow more like him. We must grow more like him. So let me ask you, imagine if you took a 1 second video a day of your spiritual life from the last year. And you had an app that kind of weaved it all together and you could watch it back. What would we see? Grow, Peter says to us. God gives us all we need. He shows us the way. And thirdly and finally, he promises us the goal. Verse 10, therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Peter's pretty strong here at the beginning of verse 10, isn't he? Make every effort. Peter's telling us that growth in the Christian life should be our absolute priority. We should think about it regularly. We should pray for it often. In fact, Peter uses that phrase, do you see back in verse 5 as well? Make every effort to add to your faith goodness and Guta's knowledge, knowledge, self-control, etc. For Peter, this is an absolute priority. Why is it such a big deal for Peter? Well, second half of verse 10, it's such a big deal for Peter because as we grow, we confirm our calling and election. If you ever stand back from the Bible and you have a look at like what it, the whole thing it teaches on one thing, one of the big things the Bible teaches is that we don't make any contribution to our salvation. We don't buy our forgiveness. But Jesus, as it were, picks us up and puts us in the high chair. But that doesn't mean we're just then to kick back and relax. Take it easy. Let go. Let God. No, because if when we're called, Peter uses that language in verse 3, as we're called, as God chooses us, well, we then have to grow. Put your hand up if you have ever tried growing seeds on your mantelpiece. Have anybody ever tried doing that? Well, you know when you're trying to grow seeds on your mantelpiece, like you start them off and then you choose the ones you're going to take and you put them in the ground. Well, they've got to grow, haven't they? And it's the same in the Christian life. As we have been chosen in Christ, we now must grow in Him. And here's the wonderful thing. Because God is God, and we are not, He knows all things. The people He chooses will grow. Brother and sister, if you ever get discouraged like me in the Christian life, I hope that's great comfort to you. Maybe like me this week, mindful of the ways that I regularly let God down. Mindful of the ways that I cause hurt to others time and time again, just doing the same stupid things. Well, here we find encouragement for our souls. Because as we grow, no matter how slow, no matter how small, as we grow, God promises our heavenly reward. Verse 11, He promises to welcome us in to our heavenly home. With outstretched arms, God promises us to welcome us in as His beloved children. As we finish, I want to tell you about a man who did this. A man who sought to make every effort to grow in Christ as he received him. I want to finish by telling you about a man called Richard. Richard Allen was born in Philadelphia, the American city, in 1760. And like many other people at that time, Richard was born into slavery. His mom was a slave, his brothers and sisters were slaves, and so that is a slave that Richard was born into. And as I'm sure you can imagine, like many people in that area at that time, that was a really hard way to live. For example, when Richard was 8 years old, his mom and his brothers and sisters were sold from one slave master to another. He was sold to a man called Stokely Sturgis. And although Richard could have described him as not a bad slave owner as slave owners went, his life was still hard. For example, a short time after Richard was sold to Stokely, Stokely got into financial difficulties. And to settle some of his debts, he sold Richard's mum and some of his brothers and sisters. Can you imagine, just over 8 years old, and your mum and brothers and sisters being ripped away from you? But Richard then describes how a year or so later, something remarkable happened. Richard was out with his brother, a couple of his brothers and sisters that had remained with him. And they were out and they came across this man preaching. He was preaching that, you know, receiving from Christ is the way to life. And this is what Richard says about what happened. I was awakened and brought to see myself poor and wretched and undone. Without Christ's mercy, I would be lost. And shortly after, I obtained mercy through the blood of Christ. Right there and then, Richard came to rejoice in Christ. He came to receive from him. And not only that, his brother and sister did too. Remarkable. Three young people converted. But then this happened. People started talking about Richard and his brothers and sisters. They started saying to Stokely, oh yeah, if these slaves have become Christian, got religion, they said, they're not going to be very good slaves anymore. And when Richard found out that people were talking like this, he got together with his brother, young brother and sister, and they decided to work harder than ever. In fact, the change was so radical, Stokely noticed. He noticed the change in Richard and his brother and sister. And it was so surprising to Richard that Stokely asked Richard about it. Richard shared with him the change that he had experienced. Stokely was so struck, he asked Richard to find this preacher. This preacher came and spoke to Stokely, and you know what happened? Stokely came to receive from Christ too. And over the next few weeks and months, Stokely came to really address some of the deep and problematic things in his life. And he started making change and started to release his slaves. Receiving from Christ is the way to life. And as we receive from Christ, we're to grow in him. That was the case for Richard, his brothers and sisters, and Stokely Sturgis. I guess the question is, what might that look like for you? Let's pray together. Father God, we recognize that without you, we would be lost without any hope in the world. But Lord, we thank you that whilst you love us enough to save us as we are, you love us so much not to leave us that way. So Lord, how we pray that by the power of your Spirit, you would help us to grow, to make every effort this week, so we receive from Christ to grow in him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.